Let's open God's word before we get in trouble. Acts chapter 16 is where we started a message a month ago that I promised I would finish off and wrap up at some point. And it's talking about malicious powers. It's talking about the evil, the darkness that is in our world that we bump into every so often. And since that message, just even around the church, I've noticed some things. And I caught it on my phone the other day, and here's a picture of what I noticed in our building the other day. The paper towel dispenser had a spirit, it was demon-possessed, and it just spit out all the paper towel. What a waste of money. Now, I'm just having fun with you, but it's in paper towels, but who cares? But like, there are some things that you face in life where you're like, wow, that seems evil, that seems dark. And we find it in God's word, too, some situations that people go through. But I want you to know there's always hope. We have authority. We have victory over this stuff. So we don't lose sleep over it. One quick example is when the camp. You know our camp? Lots of us know Lake Hills Pentecostal Camp just near Jackpine out there. You know, the gazebo burnt down. Oh, the devil was out to burn our camp down or something. Like, okay, sure, if you want to play it like that. Or God was like, we're going to build a bigger one. And I'll just make it easy. You don't even have to knock it down. I'll just burn it down before I make it just like, and you know, we'll just make it. Like, I don't know. I don't really know. I'll ask God when I get there. God, why did you burn the gazebo? You know, we'll just trust that God is on the throne and he's in control and that every situation is not a surprise to him. He knows everything that's going on. So last time we left off in Acts chapter 16, I just want to do just a quick recap. And then we'll start into today's message. Because what I had found was, when I was preparing this message and doing my research, I thought, this is more than one sermon, because I love to talk and preach, but I thought, for 2 hours, we have to get to the next service, and so we gotta be careful with time. We better split this in half. And so I wanna share some more of the insights that I found as I was doing my research. So Acts chapter 16, verse 16, easy to remember. If you're here this morning, you don't have a Bible, the Bible underneath the pew in front of you, why do we call it pew? The chair in front of you, sorry. You can pull that out and turn to page 785, and you'll find the story here in Acts 16. It says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit. This is not the Holy Spirit, let's just clarify that right now, by which she predicted the future. Okay, so thousands of years ago, there was weird and malicious and crazy spirits walking around the earth, playing around, that there is today. Doesn't that make sense? Like, okay, I can understand that. It's not like it's new or something. It's always been around. Weird things happening. But listen to what God said when the people entered the promised land. So God's people were in bondage and slavery. God set them free. They walked through the Red Sea and then into the wilderness for a season, into the promised land. When God said, when you enter the promised land, it's almost like for you and I, hey, when you get saved and you enter something so much sweeter, so much better, relationship with Jesus, you are going to face some difficult situations. Let's go back to Deuteronomy just for a second, way back in the Old Testament. I apologize, I didn't look that up in the Pew Bible, chair Bible. But Deuteronomy chapter 18 says this. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, don't learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fires, these terrible practices they would do, who practice divination, which is prophecy, like this lady was doing. That's why we don't like it and we don't agree with it. Sorcery. There's good prophecy. Let me just clarify that, but this is way out to lunch. Interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells. Or who is a medium or a spiritist or consults the dead? Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive those nations. We're driving them out of the promised land so God's nation could come into the promised land. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. And so in your Bible, if you look at Deuteronomy, like we're way back at almost the very beginning. And there was detestable and weird and evil spirits at work. Well, just like there is today, right? It's nothing new to us. We shouldn't be surprised at these things. But when we face them, what do we do? How do we handle them? How do we respond to them? So this poor slave girl had this spirit upon her that could predict the future. And so for many days as she was following Paul and Silas around, she was shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. Now, again, that sounds nice. The way to be saved, serve the God Most High. But the people that it is written to didn't understand that. They would have had some kind of idol or some kind of pagan god on their in their house on a shelf. And the slave girl is saying, that God, the little g God, is going to come and save you and help you. The mess that you're in, he's going to help you get through it. He's going to show you the way to get out of your situation and not talk about God, our heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, who's going to set us free. Not that kind of God. Prophetic misguidance, a prophetic weirdness. You ever sense that when something seems a bit off? You know, the Holy Spirit inside of you is like, that seems a bit different. You check with that. You listen to that. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Because we can be easily distracted. So Paul says to the slave girl, like, you know, stop annoying me. You're such a distraction to the gospel. In the name of Jesus, the true God, the Most High God, you know, I command you to get out of her. The evil spirit leaves her. And then, of course, the poor young girl has some owners who is now out of business because she's not prophesying or predicting the future anymore. So the owners are super ticked off, get the authorities involved, get Paul and Silas, like, just get beat on and then booted in the inner cells, if we remember the deepest, darkest dungeon, in a sense. While Paul and Silas are in there, they're singing and praising God. Like, it's like you this morning, you might be going through something very difficult. And you're like, wow, I'm having a hard time in life. I'm really struggling. But I got up to go to church today because I am going to praise God and I'm going to overcome whatever I'm going through in Jesus' name. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you're facing that like they were. And then this earthquake happens as they're praising God. I actually pray that doesn't happen this morning because that could get a little bit challenging. But the prison doors of every door opens up. And I just love that. The chains of every prisoner falls off. You know, as we pray and we worship and we lift up the name of Jesus, it opens doors in other people's lives. The brokenness and the fear and the dysfunction and the addictions will fall away off of our community in Jesus' name as we lift his name high and his name only. And so we can see this happening so clearly. And that's where we left off. The jailer comes now to Paul and Silas and understands that something miraculous has happened. And the jailer asks Paul and Silas, who he doesn't know, this question. In verse 30 of Acts 16, the jailer, the jailer then brought them, Paul and Silas, out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? There's obviously something going on here. It's a question that you and I have asked, most of us in this room. What must I do to be saved? We've asked that question. We've said that prayer. We've accepted Jesus into our hearts. We've been saved. Whoever believes in him will be saved. Saved from what, though? Like, saved from my mess, saved from my struggles, saved from my pain? Yes, at times. But really, more importantly, saved from the deepest, darkest dungeon pit of hell. God has saved you and redeemed you and now moved you and transplanted you into heaven. Like, that's what we're saved from. So does it mean that everything's just going to be hunky-dory and wonderful from now on? Show of hands, when you accepted Jesus into your heart, life's been absolutely perfect and easy. You've never had a stumble, never had a problem again in your life. Online? Yeah, it doesn't happen. It's real life. There's struggles, and Jesus understands it, and now he's speaking to you. Whoever believes in me will be saved. But even Jesus himself, as we took communion this morning, still had to suffer and die to set us free. Maybe in our struggle, there's something that God wants to free in us. Maybe in our struggle, sometimes it might actually be an answer to prayer. God, would you help me get through this? Well, let's get to work. Have you ever got to work on any project? My back is still hurting from the gazebo I put up the other day. It was hard work. But I had a fire in my backyard the other day. So good. As I sat there in a little bit of pain with my marshmallow. So good. But that's part of life, right? I mean, that's just a silly example, but you know what I'm talking about. We all go through things. So the jailer had no knowledge of all the saving grace of Jesus. He's not asking them to explain all the theories of afterlife and explain all how he could be saved, because this poor jailer is on the verge of committing. He said it pulled out his sword and he's about to end his life. You know, his life is on a thread. He doesn't know what's about to happen, so he asks Paul and Silas, how can I be saved? And Paul and Silas are like, okay, sit down. We're going to go through the Romans road here. We're going to look at the expedition of justification by grace through faith. So it's going to be a while, so take it easy. I know it's midnight. We're going to give you some, we're going to have some coffee, so you're going to stay up all night. We're going to explain all this to you. That's not what the jailer is asking. The jailer is in deep trouble. Like his prison that he's responsible for, all the doors are open. Like, oh my gosh, somebody's got the keys. All the chains have fallen off. People are just running. I don't know what they were doing. His life is on the thread. He knows that when the king wakes up the next morning, where's all the prisoners? Was this earthquake. I don't know how you slept through that. And all these people came out. Like, he's going to be tortured and put to death. So his life is in trouble, big trouble. And he says to them, how do I get saved? And do you think they explained it all to him? Of course not. They didn't have time for that. The jailer's in massive trouble. And Paul and Silas go, let me just explain the simplistic of the gospel, which includes water baptism, because we know that the whole family gets water baptized right after that. But just like that. Because he recognizes he's in trouble and he needs help. Where is he going to find help? He's going to find help in Jesus. He's going to be set free. His mess is going to make sense with Jesus. So we see it come through so clearly that the situation, the mess that our world is in, we as Christians like Paul and Silas see it differently. Yes, the world is a mess. Yes, it's out of control. Yes, it seems really negative. But Christians see it not just as the way it is today, but the way it could be one day. That there is a better day tomorrow, that there is hope for our situation, that God will come through and God is on the throne and he is reigning and he will rescue and he will save people. Paul and Silas are telling the jailer how to be saved and how to be rescued. And in their current predicament and their dilemma and their mess, it's not like, you know, you have a problem and you're like, okay, I don't know how to face this problem or how to deal with this situation. But you know what? If you understood and you went to Bible college for 4 years and you learned Greek and Hebrew and you memorized the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, that's going to help you. It actually would help you. I apologize. That's not a negative. Like that stuff would help you. But what you need is to know what to do in your situation with your dilemma and your mess. You're like, how do I get out of this? And God will speak to you personally if we would just listen to him. He wants to speak to you. He wants to give you guidance. He wants to give you wisdom. And Paul and Silas were able to give this to the jailer at the time. Listen to the other words that Paul says in other letters to other churches that he wrote in Philippians 2:10. That the name of Jesus, this is the message that they keep bringing. Every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is what he's saying to the jailer. Okay, so Paul and Silas, you know, Paul, definitely very educated. Paul, lots of information. He could have presented anything. You know, he's had so much experience in this. And with all of his years of wisdom, what's his message? It's the same again and again. And again, and we find that in every book, I've just shared a few of them with you, in every book of the gospel, confess and get Jesus in your heart. That will fix your predicament and your mess and the situation that you're going through. Just like last week we talked about, there's all these things, your marriage and your finances and all these things going on in your life, but if God's at the center of it, the rest of it makes sense. If anybody else is at the center of that, it just becomes confusing. You're like, I'm in a world of trouble. My life's, I'm held by a thread. What should I do about it? Get Jesus at the center of it, and it will begin to make sense. That's what's happened to this poor jailer's life. His life is a disaster, and in a moment, his life makes sense, and he has a purpose and a plan. If I could put it this way as well, I read it, and I love it. I was going to name the message this, but I didn't want it to seem weird on the internet, is that you can't have the crown without the cross. The cross makes sense so that we receive the crown. I mean, I know God would want a different be able to do it a different way so that we can have that same result. But he had to use the cross and he had to use suffering for us to receive a crown of glory, an eternal crown. If there was another way, I know he would have done it. So if we read that suffering produces a crown, then that means the suffering that I face is going to produce victory in my life in Jesus' name. That I will get through this and I am an overcomer and I do have what it takes. Thank you, God. So Paul makes it very clear to the people in Acts 14:22. He's encouraging his disciples. And again, what kind of encouragement would you give? You're the leader of, you know, a group of people. You're running a ministry. You're overseeing a church. And you would say this to people, Acts 14:22. Strengthening the disciples, his close friends, the people he's doing ministry with, and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Yes. I don't want to read the rest. Is that okay? Can we skip over that? We must go through many, no hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Yikes. I wish that wasn't in there, but it is. And it's reality that we face. Because if it wasn't in there, then this wouldn't make sense to me. It was all just like sweet milk and honey. It'd be like, well, one day I hope to be able to. It sounds so nice, but why am I going through so much? And it makes it so clear and it makes so much sense to us is that, yes, there's victory. Yes, there's all these things. But there's also times of difficulty. Well, that I can relate to that because I'm going through something difficult. I want us to just for a moment, can we just remove ourselves from our own pain and our own struggle just for a second here and see an overarching theme that we see all through the book of Acts. Is that when difficulties come, every time Paul kind of hangs around for too long, if he just kind of sets up his tent for very long, you know, all of a sudden the authorities and the ruler, they're just getting ticked off at him because wonderful things are happening for the kingdom, for the gospel. And so for a moment, there's a theme that runs all through here that is kind of like paving a way for us even to today. That even though all these wonderful things are happening, it's great stories. You ever read the book of Acts? It's just like, whoa, yeah, look at that. That's kind of a fun story. God is coming through every time. But it's also paving a way for you and I to understand this. Let's not focus so much on our difficulties and hardships. And remember that we're fighting for a better tomorrow, for a better community, for a better nation. Like that kind of rests upon us. I want you to feel some of that weight. Something for our grandchildren. This church is like 92 years old. I don't know what the previous pastors did or how they paved the way, but I'm so grateful for that. You know, the camp's over 60 years old. I'm so grateful for that. But we've got some responsibility. We've got to be able to grow and to learn so we have something to share with the next generation. So maybe our purpose and our calling has so little to do with us, the stuff that we're going through, and has a great deal of what God is up to. So how can I follow and serve him with my entire life? Less of my needs, more of his purpose in my life. Why are you in Terrace? Why are you at the Pentecostal church? Why did God bring us together? There's very few of us that actually are, you know, Terraceites, you know, small percentage, but he brought us from all around the globe for a season and a time like this. Wow, isn't that so exciting? So don't get so hung up on yourself and your stuff. Just be like, I'm so grateful I'm part of a big family. I'm part of the kingdom. Look what God's doing. I want to lean in. I want to be a part of what's happening around there. And as that happens, I think there's something going on here at the Pentecostal church. I don't know why. I don't know, put my finger on it. But for whatever reason, this season right now, God is doing miraculous and wonderful things. We could have lineups of people healed, people saved, people set free, people, you know, going in the right direction. But we also know that there's an enemy out there. He's not happy about that. We don't give him any credit, though. We're going to pray that God would move in and through his creation, that he would open doors and remove chains in people's lives. So as I think about that, I hope my prayer life changes to reflect that. So that when I come to my prayer life, it's not about my aching back or my thyroid or my I can't eat gluten problems. Those are all real. And they fry me sometimes. Fry bread. Oh, sweet Jesus. Anyway, and my prayer life turns into more of a, God, how can I advance your kingdom? How can I be a blessing to my community? How can I serve you with my whole being? Even if I'm in pain, even if I'm suffering, even if I end up in the hospital, how can I be a blessing there to that person? We talked about this jailer the last time I spoke. How is the gospel message going to get to a jailer who is in an inner cell, who works crazy hours, who doesn't see the day of the light of the day very often? How can the message get to him? Well, God, in all of his wisdom, decides to get two of his disciples arrested and thrown into the deepest, darkest dungeon so that they could witness to him. Whenever you go through a situation, whenever you bump into somebody, or somebody bumps into you even with their car, it's a divine appointment from heaven. But God wants you to interact with them. And how you handle it is a representation of God Almighty. They're looking at you and I. What are you doing? What are you acting like? How are you responding? I pray that that message would make sense, that both of them would be tied together now, that yes, there are evil things in the world. But I don't even take notice of them because God is so much bigger and he's on the throne. He's doing wonderful things. And I know that I will be healed on this earth or in eternity, whichever comes first. That's okay. I want to serve God. We want to serve God. Our church wants to serve the Lord well. So let us just spend a moment here in prayer and then we'll wrap this up. So Father, in Jesus' name, we're just so grateful for the word of God that makes sense in the world that I live. I feel like my world is broken at times. I feel like my life is a mess at times. But your word speaks so clearly into that. And I trust you, Lord. I know that you've got a good plan for us. I know that your plan and your will is the only one that is going to come to pass. I know that enemy would love to take me out. I know the enemy would love to take us out and mess up our community. But we believe and we pray for victory in Jesus' name. We pray that doors would be open in people's lives, that they would walk towards you. We pray that doors would be closed in people's lives that are a distraction and heading in the wrong direction. I pray that chains and addictions would be broken and fall off of people in Jesus' name so that they would begin to see you for who you are, not for the ideas or the things that have been spoken over their lives. Father, I ask on behalf of the church, 92 years, I ask you to forgive us. Man, we've done some foolish things at times. We've made mistakes at times. We've done things that have been dishonoring to you at times. I know that the church as a whole has really offended people at times. God, please forgive us for messing it up. Would you show your grace and your compassion and your mercy upon us now? Help us to do better today. Help us to do better tomorrow. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.